This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I run an accountancy business in Oxford, and I'm joined, as always, by the fabulous Alan Clark from Exponential Coaching, who is back in his old headphones, which most of you won't have seen. But Alan, you bought some new headphones, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago? And I spent the whole podcast thinking, why does his head look different? And then I twigged that I hadn't seen you without headphones for about 2.5 years, since before COVID. That's what's going on, right? So you've gone back to the old.
I've gone back to them. Unquestionably, they're better for podcasting. They are ridiculously oversized, and the other ones are very streamlined. But in truth, these give a better audio performance than my small retrofit ones.
It's just strange. I was thinking, well, it's not his haircut. What's different about him? What's going on? And there you go. Teeny tiny headphones. So, have you had a good week?
Do you know, I have. I have. I'm full of energy. I have had loads of conversations. Some wonderful progress from clients, and yeah, I'm in a good shape. And I'm also been working on my balance between my professional self and my personal self. And I would say starting to win the war on balance. I think I am.
Good. I love that. That plays in a little bit, I think, into what we're going to talk about today, right? So shall we jump straight in?
Yeah.
And what are we going to talk about today,
so,
then, Alan?
In one word, we're going to talk about busyness. And this comes up a bit in our podcasting. However, I've got the latest edition of the Harvard Business Review on my desk, and it says the headline is "The Busyness Trap." And underneath that, it says, "Activity is not a metric for success." And then there's umpteen articles within it. And I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it, I'm hearing it, I'm seeing it in clients. I think you could say busyness is a bit of a pandemic. I think we could get into, okay, let's really, really recognize this busyness, and how do we move it on? Everyone at one level does know how to change it, what's the antidote, but it's rarely used. And I'd love us just to get clear on what the antidotes are, and urge to listeners to use them, because the benefits are immeasurable. They're absolutely phenomenal.
Goodness me, do I need this podcast in my life? So yes, I 100% agree. Right? This, I have not genuinely... I don't think I do quite a bit of networking. I am out and about. I know you are as well. So I speak to a lot of business owners, and it is almost unheard of to ask a business owner, how are you doing? And they're not, oh God, busy. Right? We're, you know, the cost of living crisis, inflation through the roof, recession fears. It doesn't matter. Everyone you speak to that's running a business will tell you that they are busy. And so I often said, is everyone genuinely busy? And does one person's busy mean someone else is kind of quiet? Like, it's subjective, isn't it? If you're busy, you know, but it's very, very, very rare that I speak to someone and they don't tell me that they're busy. So I guess that's the starting point, right? If we are all busy, A, do we give other business owners enough slack for the fact that they're busy as well? Because I'm very conscious, if I'm speaking to a client, I tell my team, you know, such and such is really busy at the moment. Like, if we're dealing with, I don't know, a pub at Christmas, and we're trying to get information out of the landlord because he's got to do his VAT return, I'll make sure we need to ask this once, you know, in a format the landlord's going to like receive well. So maybe not an email, but maybe a phone call, or, you know, at the time when he's not going to be prepping for a lunch service on his busiest Friday of the year, for example. Do it once, do it right, and don't waste their time because they're really busy. And I'm conscious in our business, we try and do that. But we have a load of clients that will ask, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, we're really busy. Great. Okay, don't care. I've got a million things I need you to do. And they try and project their busyness and their stress onto you, because then it's off their plate and onto yours. And then, you know, and they ignore, because everyone's busy, they ignore you saying, oh, yeah, we're really busy at the moment. So what's my point? I don't think business owners give each other enough, not slack, but acknowledge, because everyone is busy, it's the norm. So we just see through it, right? And it's the norm to be busy, and it's the norm for your suppliers to be busy, and it's not an excuse. You just got to crack on, right? So no one's feeling sorry for you.
I think that's a great point. I really do. And the podcast isn't on that, but you know, that's what relationships do, don't they? You relate to one another, you understand one another's position. But you're right, the standard default position is busyness, and it's a bit of a competition to see who's the busiest. But actually, just slowing down, which is anti-busyness, and understanding somebody else's world, well, at least like you did in that example of the busy pub, then it allows you to be effective and cut through that busyness, help them with the busyness. Not all busyness is equal. We'll get into that. So, you know, it's a good place.
That is it. One person's busy is the other person's like in the zone. Like Nuala in my team, she has days where I'm looking at her to-do list and it's off the scale. And that is where she is at her most productive. She like she doesn't do it, and she cannot do it every day of the week. But she'll have one day a week where she is in the zone and she's doing 120%. And then the next day she'll be at 80%. And every day you ask her, she'll tell you she's busy. But you can see, you know, she has degrees of busyness. And every business, yep, I think, has that. Okay, shall we? Because I'm busy, you're busy, we're all busy. How I've cracked it for myself in our business is quite interesting. And we've cracked it with a bit of a kind of wry smile, because I don't think this is something you ever crack completely. But I now start every Friday with a coffee with my nan, right? She's in her 90s, bless her. She is still full of beans and energy, right? Well, she's one of my favourite humans. I mean, whose nan isn't their favourite person, right? And I, since back in the day when I was at the old business, before I ran this business, I used to go networking about, I don't know, 2 minutes drive from her house every Friday morning. And every week I was like, I need to go and see Nan. I'm just down the road. I'll pop in on my way to the office. And genuinely never, ever did it. And I've been meaning to do it since we set this business up. But it just never happened. And what we've ended up doing, it's in my diary now. Every Friday morning, I have a coffee with my nan. And it works because it's in my diary. So nothing gets put in the way. It's always there. And it follows on that then when I was looking, like, I could really do with a day where I don't deal with client meetings. I'm focused internally on the team and doing the CEO role. And so Friday was the obvious day to do that then, because my morning starts with this non-client meeting with my nan, right? And now suddenly we booked out a Friday and we just put all the other meetings around the other days. And now Fridays are great days for me because I have this complete blank day to do internal stuff. And then we realized, well, actually what I really need is 2 days, right? So we've now booked out Wednesdays on the same basis. And it's only once you physically commit to block that diary out and put that time in, and now my team know it's like sacrosanct. It stays there. It doesn't, nobody puts a meeting in. They have to fight me, because my natural urge, if a client's got a desperate issue, is to fit them in on a Wednesday or a Friday, and they block that now actively. And now I have 2 days a week that I'm really productive in that CEO inward focused role. But it means that my 3 days where I'm client focused, they're busy, but they're no more busy than they would have normally been, but they're much more focused because we know that we've got those 3 days to fit these meetings in. They are fitted in. You know, there's no mission drift in any of those meetings. They're to the point, done, bang, bang, bang. Clients haven't really noticed the difference because I'm still seeing the same amount of clients, just doing it in a more effective way. But I've now got 2 whole days where I can I can get out from under the client stuff and look at my business. And it's made such a difference to how my day-to-day stress in my business is, because I've got these 2 days. I'm never more than 2 days away from having a day where I can sit and think about the issues in my business and fix things.
I mean, that's amazing, right? And I want to ask you two questions. One, in this scenario now, the way you structure your week now versus 4 months ago, how would you describe the performance difference of you as a chief exec on your organization? And secondly, how do you feel in the two different scenarios? What's the difference in how you feel emotionally?
Like, it. I mean, if you'd have asked me four months ago, I would have said I was winning then. Like, we didn't have serious issues in our business. I was just creeping back to doing the on your business stuff. The CEO role was creeping back into being evenings and Saturday mornings, which was something we tried really hard not to have in our business. So now that's disappeared again completely, and I'm back to being, you know, dad at home and CEO in the office, and there's very little crossover now. So yeah, my performance in both roles is better. Now, I would caveat this with, I think there's been a marked change in the busyness levels of some of my team, because they are taking client meetings on the Wednesdays and the Fridays that I wasn't taking. But it was kind of planned for. We wanted them to do that to develop. So it has had a knock-on effect on the business, but not in a negative way. And we've had to build out the team a bit to put some lower level support in, so that the work is kind of trickling down for me and trickling down. But what we've got is the right people doing the right jobs now. And that didn't involve me running around 5 days a week like a headless chicken. So I think we're definitely better for it as a business. I'm certainly better for it as a CEO. And I know of other businesses that have done something similar. We've got a letting agent who 3 years ago, just before COVID, 4 years ago now, he ran a significant portfolio of short-term lets, like Airbnb style, sort of one tenant a week, in, out, having to show them in, give them the keys, show them how the safe works, you know, checking them out. And he built this business up really quickly from nothing, but didn't have any kind of support network within his business. So he was, you know, I remember speaking to him one Christmas, and he was like checking in five families on Boxing Day and checking two out on Christmas Eve. And it's like, he said, this isn't what I should be doing, but I don't stop. Like, I do 20 hours a day, it feels like. He kind of had this epiphany over Christmas where he's like, this is just bonkers. What am I doing? And changed, you have to see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? You could see that there was an issue. And then he looks at, well, what actually does my business want to be doing this? Are we making the right amount of money from this? Is it the best use of my time to be doing this? And he completely pivoted his business away into where it should have been, back to where it should have been. He's still a very busy letting agent, but he's not at least now doing like 90% of his time doing something that's not earning him any money, or is not a CEO role. Just, you know, you need to be able to see past the immediate stress to where do you want to be and right. What do you want to do.
So thank you for sharing both these scenarios, right? Because where I'm going to go next is this. I think you've moved. I'm hoping people that are listening to this really do get it, because what you did was in many ways counterintuitive, in that you're busy, so what I'll do is I'll block off 2 days. And people go, how the hell can you do that? Because I'm too busy. And what you did do was block off 2 days and get you to have two quality days thinking as a chief exec. And of course, that level of contribution is so powerful. You in that role, performing as a CEO and doing only what you can do as a CEO, and that a lot of that would be about strategy and vision and execution and possibilities and just getting stuff done. And having the space allows you to think in terms of ideas pop up. Now, that's not new news. If this was mindfulness podcast, that would be coming up on that too, right? But it isn't a mindfulness podcast. This is about performance most of the time. And actually, you have increased your performance and you're feeling better. Now, you are, as is the other colleague that you stated in his business. So what you've done here, I think, is wonderful. You are increasing performance within your company and you're feeling better. And you're more, I haven't used the balance words here, but you're more balanced. I mean, and your nan gets to see Matt every week. So, and goodness knows the quality of that relationship and the conversation you guys come up with, but I bet you it's adding value to your life and her life. So your personal space becomes stronger, your professional space becomes stronger, and that's all because you have created space that wasn't there, and you've countered the busyness trap. To quote the Harvard Business Review, you've escaped the busyness trap. It's a trap. You've seen through the trap, you've done something about it, and lo and behold, performance goes up, quality of life goes up, you feel better.
Yeah, 100%, right? And it's almost shocking how simple a solution it was, right, to just block these 2 days out. Like, it sounds too easy to have done. And yeah, you know, we've had to move some things around, but actually, I would like to think, you know, Emily and Louise, who run my diary, they're just booking. What we're doing is we're booking meetings a week further in advance than we normally would have. So whereas normally I'd know what I was doing for the next 2 weeks, I now know what I'm doing for the next 3 weeks, because the days that would normally have come in on a Wednesday and a Friday is now going into the Monday and Tuesday of the week after. And, you know, if a client needed us desperately, we'd find a way of dealing with them sooner, right? But that's not actually the case. So sometimes the simple solutions are the best. Now, what I wanted to talk to you about is one of the old adages about fixing this busyness trap is to outsource the things that you shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? You must have heard this. Like, why are you doing your bookkeeping? Why are you the person that opens the post? Why are you the person that's taking out bins, right? Do you see, how often do you see this within businesses where the CEO or aspiring CEO, because I think most business owners are aspiring CEOs, but actually overworked kind of jack of all trades, right? How often is the aspiring CEO not doing what they should be doing because they're spending their time doing some menial tasks that they think are adding value, but really are just, you know, filling jobs that adding to the busyness, right?
I definitely still see it. I definitely still see it. In my current client portfolio, I think it's more common in the people I work now that you could get into question the priorities in that they're not unimportant or non-urgent. There may be that phrase, ducks in a row, is suboptimal. So there's something really, I think, really, really profound in this, in that if I've in a, like what you've done on a Wednesday and a Friday, you're in your clearing, you're getting clearer and clearer on your priorities and in which order. That's like compound interest. And in that, you know, if I'm clear my priorities but go for priority number three first, then it's not gonna have anywhere near, it's not even out of order. It's the, because if I do one, it'll have a positive impact to my organ and. So that is what I see. I see a lot of chief execs executing their priorities suboptimally, and a chunk of them not being crystal clear on what these priorities are. The days of the chief execs doing the bookkeeping. I don't see a lot of that. Do you? So
I do.
that's fab. You need to send them to me and I'll have a conversation. Only kidding. But I do think the prioritization thing and the lack of clarity on priorities. So it's lack of clarity on priorities, and then even if I'm clear, I'm doing them in the wrong order. I see a lot of that.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes when people get stressed, busyness generally leads to stress. It's easy. Like, I'm an accountant by trade, right? But if I was a plumber or if I was a florist, I don't know, whatever else it was, if you get busy and stressed, the way you kind of internalize that and like, I need to fix a problem, I need to get something done, right? I need to be busy to get rid of the work, right? So the first thing to do, if I'm busy and I can see the team are busy, I will jump on some menial bookkeeping, VAT return, payroll task and get it out the door. Get back to my happy place, right? Where I used to be, where life was straightforward and I just did this accounts job and then that accounts job and then that VAT return and then that VAT return. And I see a lot of business owners that are too quick to make that jump back into their happy place where they're getting the work done and they feel like they're fixing their busyness problem when in fact they're not, they're making it worse. And that is really difficult. And I, as accountant, I don't think it's my place to try and help people fix that, but I see it all the time. I used to be guilty of it
I'll tell you
myself.
something quite funny. I acknowledge that, right? And then when I'm having a conversation and that goes on, I do feel like I'm turning into the priest in the confessional box, and my client are going, Alan, it's
Give me that.
exactly that. Say six Hail Marys because I've been naughty because
Give me business
exactly
coach. I have
that.
sinned.
And
Yeah.
it's quite funny, and then we have a giggle, and then they get it and they move up. But yes, that is a common, and sometimes, I mean, the reason why this busyness is a pandemic is because there's so many reasons to be busy. So I've got two people off sick. What am I going to do? And the coffees need poured. That's one way of doing it. And absolutely, sometimes that needs to be the answer. But if you're not then creating space to go, what's the backfill for the two baristas that are off sick? Or can I bring somebody else in today, not 3 days from now? If you're not creating a clearing to come up with solutions, you're stuck in the busyness. So I'm a CEO that's serving coffees for 3 days. Okay, I'm getting to know my customers again. I'm having some fun. But if I had thought through who could come in on the Monday, then I'm off doing CEO things. So I'm strengthening and growing my business. And it's that sort of stuff in its many guises that creates a lot of this busyness too.
It's what's really interesting. I think once you've cracked it, you don't go backwards.
Yes,
Once you've kind of,
yes.
once you, I went to Surrey with one of my colleagues last week. We've got a whirlwind of an entrepreneur client who's setting up these chain of pizza cafes. I've actually got one of his tills on this desk next to me, and we were
Oh
joking about
yeah,
it just a
okay.
minute ago, weren't we? And we were in one of his pizza cafes. He's opening kind of one every couple of weeks around Surrey and London, right? They're phenomenal little businesses. And we were in there having a meeting in the one that's closest to where he lives. And we were sat in there and it was really busy on a lunchtime. And he waited for the queue to die down. And then me, him, and my colleague ducked behind the counter to look at the till. And while we were there, these two ladies that had obviously clocked that he was the business owner, they came to the counter and said, "Oh, excuse me, we've been waiting X amount of time for our coffee." And my default, I genuinely thought, well, okay, and he dealt with it, obviously. He said, "Oh, no problem, we'll get it sorted now, don't worry, what did you want? Cappuccino and a hot chocolate." Right, brilliant. And I moved out of the way of the coffee machine because I assumed he was going to go straight to the coffee machine and make it, right? He's obviously capable of doing it. and he was the one person behind the till, and he didn't. He went out to the back and he got the manager and he said, you know, this is what's happened. Can we get them a coffee? And then we all moved out of the way and let the manager do, you know, do her job and get it done and sorted. And it's only a little thing, but I know plenty of CEOs. I was, you know, expecting him to just get it done and done, but it's like, it's not my job. And I, you know, there's a system. I don't know. I genuinely don't know how to make a hot chocolate using this machine because it's not one I've ever used before, you know. And if they see me doing it, then the next time I'm here, they'll try and get me to jump on while they go to the loo. And it's not how the business needs to work. So I'm not there as a safety net. And I sort of thought, you know what, he's perfectly, that's bang on, right? But how many business owners do I know that would have just jumped on and done that without a second thought? I would have in his position, but it's the right, his was the right, it's the right way, right? You've got people in there to do it. That's, they need to do their job and let you do your job.
I agree. I think that's it's a great example. And of course that has many benefits. He was very he apologized to the customer and he acted immediately. He so the they saw him act and his action was, you're right, to get the persons whose role it was in the organization to look after the customers. And she chose to pour the coffees. And there's a lesson in there for everyone. You know, so yeah, great example to share.
Good. Okay. Well, we are cracking on.
27 minutes.
Always, you know. I know it's and we just should definitely not overrun when we're talking about busyness and time management and being precious about your time, right? What else did you want to cover, Alan, that we've not spoke about yet?
Oh, I mean, umpteen things, to be honest with you. So this podcast is 3.5 hours long. It's not really, of course. I think that's it. There's so much more here. I think there is something in this about, and it's nearly impossible when you're so busy, you cannot access a clearing of mind and connect with who you are, what your role is, what your purpose, what your priorities are, etc. And that is detrimental to any business when the leader or the owner cannot access that, the business is weakened. So I guess to boil that down, I'd say to chief execs, please, please, please value your time. Value your time. You're spending it and it is making a contribution, but is it making an optimal contribution? And I suspect it's not. And doing what you did with the Wednesdays and Fridays, or, you know, even an hour, and you by yourself with the phone off, thinking, right, what the hell's going on here, will allow you to reconnect with your purpose, your priorities, and having you impact at a much higher level. And the business is stronger because of it.
Yeah. I've also, what I've done recently, which I think has helped with my general level of personal busyness inside our busy business, is we use a task management system. So we use Monday to track all the jobs in our business. But I have my own kind of job board within the Monday system, which is just Matt's jobs, where people chuck stuff in. If they need me to sign off this thing or review this quote for this client or pick up the phone and speak to someone about something, they just chuck it in there. And the first thing that's done is it means that I don't miss anything, because that's the worst thing that happens. One of the big byproducts of being overly busy is that you miss things that you shouldn't do. You think, oh, I've missed a call from John. I need to give John a call back. I'll do that in the car on the way home, or I'll do that after this meeting. And then something else happens and John's so far out of your mind's eye, and it's not your fault, it's not his, you know, fault, but it just gets missed. And you have to rely on John picking up the phone and giving you the benefit of the doubt and reconnecting and not drifting off to someone else, right? So we put this in to stop that happening. But the side effect of that is that my team can now, if they're going to add it and it's the 52nd job on the list, what they're doing is thinking, hold on, A, Matt's buried. B, do I actually need to get Matt to do this, or could I do this myself? Or C, can we pass it to someone else in the team? And it's had, I've noticed that my list, when we put it in, it went bang, it went massive. And then I worked through it with the team and got stuff done, and it has never grown to that same level again. And I suspect it's because they are policing it themselves. You know, the amount of clients we're dealing with has not gone down. The amount of work that we're putting out has not gone down. I've got 2 days a week now where I clear some of those things, but my 2 days were clear are not for doing that. Like, they are for totally internal focusing. So somewhere that work is now getting done by someone else and I'm not even seeing it. And back, you know, 18 months ago, that would have scared me. Now, empowered the team. And yeah, and they're all taking a bit of ownership of things. And I'm sure that there are tasks that I would have been the backstop for, that I'm no longer the doer on. So yeah, so getting that task list out, you know, putting a task list together, people have different views on it. That's not the win. The win is getting your team access to that task list so they can then see what you've got going on and police it themselves.
And stop you as well being a bottleneck.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. They take things off it. That's never going to
be. He says he's going to do it, but he's got no chance. Yeah. So let's just remove that risk.
The default position is, sure, I'll look at that. I've never once said to the team, no, I'm not going to look at something. But they're now all sensible enough to see, well, it's 55 on the list.
Yeah.
And that's been there since last week. Number five's been there since last week. So when are we going to get to 55? So, yeah, it's definitely worked. And it's an easy thing to implement. It's not a difficult, again, the simplest ways around these are often the best, right? So should we do a quick recap of what we covered? Because we're going to be at 40 minutes if we're not careful. So what have we talked about? We've talked about simple solutions, right? So blocking out some time to not be busy, to give yourself a clearing and do the CEO role properly. Everyone's an aspiring CEO. What else did we talk about? We talked about task lists.
Probably about 15 minutes ago, we were talking about priorities and ducks in a row. And, you know, that for me, there was two stages going on there. There was A, getting clear on the priorities in the first place. You can only get that once you get a clearing, but that's a huge benefit. And then choosing them in the right order, it has huge benefits. Then you shared the example of your client who owns the restaurants, and they made the decision to get the manager rather than jump on himself. And again, the life lessons in that for everyone.
And we talked a little bit about kind of empowering your team and outsourcing, so making sure that you're only looking at the right role, the right jobs for your role, and then you outsource, you delegate, we find a home for the jobs that, you know, that used to be your happy place, the easy wins, but are not for you, right? It plays into that coffee shop example, getting the right person to do the right job. I feel like we could revisit this in a couple of weeks' time.
Absolutely, and we call that a pandemic. It's the busyness pandemic. It is everywhere, and not every busyness is equal. We got into that as well. So we're in danger of going right through the whole podcast again, but it was very enjoyable, Matt.
Brilliant. Okay, well, let's leave it there. We'll come back and revisit this at some point in the future, I'm sure. But that's all for now. We will be back next week with more podcast gold. In the meantime, reviews on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, all of that helps us massively. Shouts out on social media are also massive to us and help us grow the listenership. And what I got asked the other day by a listener, what's the one thing that they could do to help us out the most? I think they were angling to be a guest, but that wasn't how we would like people to help us, particularly at this point. One thing that everyone could do that would really help us is recommend us to a friend. Because everyone who's in business has got a friend that's in business, right? Yeah. Recommend us to them. That helps us grow the listenership massively. So on that note, I'll leave it there, shall
Brilliant.
We?
Brilliant. No, you closed with very wise words, sir. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, well, look, on that note, that's all for me, and that's all for my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.